And now let me read verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, self-control or temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And the sinner will never have a convenient season to hear the gospel. Now, I want you to notice something here that we believe is very important. This man, Felix, now, knew something of the gospel, the way. And that is a synonymous term with what we call Christianity today, or the Christian faith. It was called the way. I personally would like to see that name restored, because Christianity is the most abused word today, and it's watered down. And I heard a man the other day, a good preacher, say that we live in a Christian nation. We don't live in a Christian nation. This country is not a Christian nation by any stretch of the imagination. We got a whole lot of church members, but the number of Christians are certainly a minority today. Now, will you notice what takes place? Felix called Paul in to explain the gospel which had produced this entire situation. And he called Paul in and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, I have in my Bible a note in it. It calls this Paul's defense before Felix. I disagree with that. Paul wasn't defending himself here at all. What he's doing here in this second appearance before Felix is he's witnessing to him. He's trying to win him to the Lord. Now, will you notice the scriptural record here actually does not present this man Felix in his bad light as profane history does. And I'd like for you to know what a rascal he really was. Now, Felix, if you'd know the man, you must turn to the record of that day. Now, Felix was a freed slave who, through cruelty and brutality, had forged to the front, a man given to pleasure and licentiousness. And by the way, his very name means pleasure. Tacitus says this concerning him. Listen to this. Through all cruelty and licentiousness, he exercised the authority of a king with the spirit of a slave. Now, this was the man in whose hands Paul was placed, yet Scripture does not condemn him. Now his wife, Drusilla, was there alongside of him. And again, profane history turns the spotlight on her for us. She was a daughter of Herod Agrippa I. Her father killed James. You remember, we've already seen that in the book of Acts, James the Apostle, brother John. And the great uncle of this woman had slain John the Baptist. And her great grandfather tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these two, notice a couple of rascals, Felix and Drusilla, are in an exalted position. They probably would never have attended a church in which the gospel was preached. And they probably wouldn't have tuned in a radio to hear the word of God, and therefore, they're just not going to hear it. I do not think they would have gone to hear Paul the Apostle if he'd come to town. But these two have their great opportunity that's given to them. Under favorable circumstances, they have a private interview with the greatest preacher of the grace of God that the world has ever seen. And God gives them a private sermon. Their palace became a church, and their throne almost became a mourner's bench. Oh, the wonder of God's grace to give these two a chance. The hour of salvation struck for them. The door of the kingdom was open to them. They had their opportunity. And this is in fulfillment of what the second Psalm says, "Be wise now, therefore, ye kings and ye judges of the earth." They should have listened a little better to the Apostle Paul. I think they heard him with a great deal of interest. And I think Felix would like to have made a decision, but he didn't make a decision. Now, Paul reasoned with him of righteousness and of temperance or self-control and judgment. Now, this, by the way, makes a very good sermon. You probably heard a sermon on verse 25 here. Now, righteousness here is, I think, righteousness of law, but man cannot meet it. In other words, the law reveals that man is a sinner, and he can't even present a legal righteousness that would be acceptable to God. Therefore, a sinner must have a standing before God, and he can't provide it himself. So God provides that in Christ, and the robe of righteousness comes down over those that believe. And that robe that the Lord Jesus wore, that the soldiers shot craps for beneath the cross, that robe has no romantic history at all. Some burly soldier won it, sweated it out. It was dropped in a corner, and a little serving maid picked it up after she held her nose, took it out, and burned it. But the robe of righteousness that comes down on those who trust Christ, that righteousness which Paul spoke of, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. That's Romans 3:22. It comes down upon all like a garment, if you please. Paul reasoned to this man of a righteousness that Christ provides the sinner when he trusts him. And now temperance is self-control. And this man was mastered by passion and cruelty. And these two, living in sin as they were, these two, this man Felix and his wife Drusilla, they were both great sinners and they did not know what real freedom was. Now, Paul spoke to them of judgment to come. That judgment to come is the great white throne. And friends, today your sins are either on you or they're on Christ. And if they are on Christ, you've trusted him and he bore them 1900 years ago. They're back there and they're not in the future. But if your sin today is on you, you're yet to come up for judgment. And people don't like to hear about judgment to come. And this pair didn't like to hear it either. Maybe there's some listening today. But my friend, if your sin's not on Christ and you've not trusted him today, then you're going to come up for judgment. And you can tune the radio out right now, but you won't destroy the fact you're coming up for judgment. Now, this is where, of course, a great many preachers today soft-pedal it. Very few preachers touch this subject. I think the Bible preachers today, and thank God we have those throughout the land, but they today are the only ones that are touching on this at all. A man wrote me, in fact, he's a college professor in Virginia, and he said, I listened to you, and he said, I was about ready to turn you out when I found out you were a hellfire and damnation preacher. But he said, I noticed you didn't handle it in a crude way, and I noticed that you did offer a salvation, and he said, I continue to listen to you. Now, I think that hellfire and damnation is a pretty good subject today, but I think it ought to be handled in a proper way, not a crude way. My friend, you're coming up for judgment. Now, Paul talks to these two. Now, Paul appeared before this man Felix in the presence of Tertullus, the prosecuting attorney, and Ananias, the high priest, who've come down from Jerusalem with their coterie of helpers, religious leaders, and Paul defends himself. Well, Felix immediately can see that the charge brought against Paul could not stand at all, and Felix should let him off, but he doesn't because he's first of all a politician, and he doesn't do what is right but what is politic as far as he is concerned. He has a private interview with Paul, and Paul apparently really touched him, but he postponed the day. And the very interesting thing is it's been proven out in the history of the world for 1900 years that you can keep postponing making a decision for Christ until you come to the place when you can't make a decision for him at all. and certainly not on the human plane, that you completely turn from him. That's the reason that most decisions that are made for Christ are made by young people. I'm sure that most of the folk I'm talking to today made a decision when they were young. We are seeing many old people come to Christ also. But actually, the greatest percentage come in youth. And that's the reason we ought to try to reach the young people. Also, that's the reason that a person need not think because he gets older that he's becoming smarter. He's just becoming more hardened to the gospel and reaches the plates. I heard this years ago concerning the late Dr. George Truett, the great prince of the pulpit in Dallas, Texas, that when he had, I think it was his 50th anniversary there, a lawyer friend of his came to him. He was not a Christian. And he came to him at the celebration, and he said, "George, you and I came here to Dallas at the same time. You were a young man. I was a young lawyer." And he said, "I must confess that when I first heard you, that you moved me a great deal." He said, "Very frankly," he said, "there were nights I couldn't sleep." But he said, as the years wore on, he said, the day came, and he says, "It's true today that I can listen to you. I enjoy hearing you, but you don't disturb me at all." And he laughed about it. He didn't realize how tragic it was, because he even added to that and said, "And you're a much greater preacher today than you were at the beginning." Well, that is the tragedy, and it was the tragedy of that man, without him realizing that he actually had come to the place where he had always said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." But that time never did come for the lawyer, and it has not come for a great many folk. Now let me conclude that 24th chapter by reading now verse 26. "He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." He is a clever politician and a crook, by the way. He hoped he'd be bribed, and then he would let Paul off. Now, imagine this. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound, or show him a favor. In other words, he's a politician to the very end. He left Paul in prison. Either Paul's guilty or he's not guilty. And if he's not guilty, he should be freed. If he is guilty of what they said, then he should have been punished for it. And the fact it was treason in that day, it would have cost him his life. Now, one or the other should have been done, but he should not have been left in prison for 2 years.